Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, Bruce.
All right. Hey, hey, hey. So,
another fabulous guest. Yeah.
Another fabulous guest. You know, it's the one good thing about the show is that we get to bring on people, at least three times a month. We have special guests that we bring on that talk about what they do, how they contribute to the healing and betterment of others. And oftentimes that is through coaching. And today we have a special guest who has a lot of experience with individuals and companies, and looks at things through a lens that's a little bit different from traditional coaching. So I'm going to let her talk about what she does and how she does it. We talked about how this can be applied in corporate settings, but how her work obviously can be done in individual settings as well. So we have with us Robin Peterson. Robin, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, we're excited to have you.
Guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited too. This is going to be like opening up a can of worms, I think.
Yeah, have a feeling. Yeah, I love just I had a few minutes to talk to her pre-air, and wow, I'd like to just have you take off from there. And Bruce, you jump in and ask questions, but your attitude is amazing and your philosophy on how to go after life. So maybe you can start with that and then we'll just roll from there.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. That was a really nice thing to say.
You're welcome.
I was telling her that I've done a lot of things in my career. I jump around because I get intrigued by something. And so I have the desire and the prompting to go and learn it. If I feel that I want to go be a doctor or if I want to be a pilot, I'm going to do them both. There's no limits to that. I feel like anything is capable. Between me and God, I'm capable of doing anything. And so I do. I just jump around. And if I want to go travel the world or if I want to go learn something, if I want to go live with the Amish, I will. And I gain the experiences. And I'm kind of a collector of people and experiences now more than anything.
That's a beautiful thing to say. I love that. Yeah, collector of people and experiences.
Yes. It's hard to surround yourself with epic people. It really is. And so if you want to be epic, you got to have some epic people in your corner.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. And you also said before air that, you know, I don't have to just do one thing. And I love that because I had a client today. I said the exact thing to, you know, she's fairly multitask oriented. I said, you know, you have all these options and you don't have to just pick one. Let's explore all of them. You can do two or three of them. Why not? You can do what you want.
Absolutely. I think that's kind of some bad programming that we've learned from other generations that taught us, you know, you focus on one career, you do it this way,
right.
Here's the template. And we're finding that just doesn't fit anymore. And we want to do multiple things because we're capable. We're more
exactly.
than capable.
And it's more interesting and it's more, you know, you can be more flexible. There's so many. I could go on for days about that. I'm totally in agreement. Mm-hmm. Makes life a lot more interesting. And I call it jumping off cliffs, and you have to just trust you're going to land where you need to land and learn what you need to learn. But a lot of people they live in fear that if I leave the job, I won't have to pay, you know, all of that, you know.
Sure.
So as coaches, we help coach people through that way of thinking that may not be serving them.
Right. But aren't you glad that we're in this dispensation of time? Because before, that was only a very few that had that mindset. And now there's so many people. So many people
I
are
know.
Making that possibility. And I'm so grateful
that
I'm
nice?
In this time period.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. How about you, Bruce? Are you glad you broke free?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's I'm always glad to be here and kicking around. So let's talk about a little bit about your background and you work more in the energy realm, the spiritual realm of things, and kind of talk a little bit about that and how that really is a good center and a good focus for what you do.
Sure. So first, I have some profound spiritual gifts, and I think everybody does. I just have developed mine recently. So I have a lot of different spiritual gifts, and then I have a collaboration of skill sets that I've learned through education and through trainings around the world. So I am an intuitive healer. I do a lot of advanced energetic medicine. I use a lot of quantum physics, mathematical codes, on top of that of using my spiritual gifts of being intuitive. So I love working on people, but I really love working on companies because I'm also an entrepreneur. I own several companies, so I'm very business savvy. But when I work on a company, I get to help like 50 to 300 people all at once, which is totally cool.
And how does that work exactly? Maybe walk us through that.
For a company?
Yeah, like when you are able to help a company and, like you said, 200 or 300 people, how does that process work?
Well, sure. So, you know, it's a big difference between when somebody comes to me one-on-one and wants to do a session with me for personal stuff.
Right, right.
Compared to when I come into a company. So I'll walk you through the process. So let's say a company hires me, a CEO or whatever. I come in, I ask that you tell me nothing about the company. I don't want any background. I don't want to know any problems, anything. I come in completely neutral, biased. I don't do any research on the company. And so I come in, and then I have them draw me a stick figure of the company. And so, I mean, and I could show you some of these images. They're hilarious. So I have one, you know, they draw a big circle and they put a little stick figure. Here's the CEO. Here's marketing. Here's division. Here's our debt. Here are, you know, all these people. And if it's a really big corporation, I'll have a list of names separately of everybody in marketing, everybody in this section,
right,
everybody
right.
in this division,
the directory.
Yeah. And so what I do is then I feel and I go through and I see what comes up first. And I use a system called InnerWise, which came from Germany from Dr. Uwe Albrecht, who is amazing and took him 30 years to create this quantum physics system. And so I can scan through and I feel, okay, and I always ask, what's first? What's the first problem? And so first I find a problem. So I'll give you an example. I just was just called into a really huge community down in Utah. And there's about 30 partners, but I met with 12 other board members. And what occurred was I had one of the men do an image of the company, and there was a woman there named Julie. And she was very quiet. And even in the image that he did, Julie was really far away from the center of the company, from this image that this man did. And I tested, and I had a feeling about her, and I tested that this was actually, this company was part of her life potential. This was her life purpose. And her energy was supposed to be feeding into this company. And the more that more partners stepped in, they took the reins because they were natural leaders.
Right.
And so every time they stepped in, she would step back. And the further she
moved
stepped
further
back,
away.
The energy from the company was drawn. So I create a scale, you know, 100 out of a zero. So if the, you know, out of 100%, 100 being the best, fully optimization of life energy, life purpose in this company, where are we at right now? And then I feel it. They were at 3%. 3%.
Wow.
And the number one problem was because she was further away. She was just going to be like a manager or a worker, even though she was the original creator of the company. And just by me putting her back in CEO position, jumped the company up to 68% life energy, just that one change.
Wow. Interesting. Now, how did they respond to that? I mean, were they just everybody on board?
That's a good question. No, of course not. Of course not. I mean, you know, right. And especially because, you know, there was a man who took the reins and he was president and CEO, and he right away was shocked. He couldn't believe that I was saying such a thing because he didn't see it in her. He didn't see that power that I saw that was being hidden in her. And so right away, it was that scarcity of what's being taken away from him and all of it. So then what I do is I demonstrate and I show. And, you know, you can do that with a lot of different ways. For instance, like muscle testing, there's so many different ways of doing that. If I ask somebody to stand up in a room And I say, I want you to close your eyes and allow your body to be able to sway back and forth. And just stand in your neutral position. And I say, I want you to ask yourself, I'm testing for my yes. And then their body will automatically sway forward. And then I say, okay, now ask, I'm testing for my no. And they'll sway backwards really hard. And they're like, oh my gosh, what the heck is going on here? And so it's a body's way of connecting to the energy field of truth, air, stress, no stress, yes, no. And so it's an undeniable experience. So if I say, okay, guys, I'm going to test and say, if we put Julie back in the CEO position and it jumps up to 68%, I pick an anonymous person to stand up and do the sway test and show if that's true or not. So we'll say, I want you to ask, if we put her in this position, will it jump it up to 68%? And we'll see if her body goes forward or backwards. And so then and they're like, wow, what's going on?
So they're seeing it. They're seeing it. Like, are they buying in? Are you getting some people like feeling it, buying in, or more resistance typically in the beginning?
Well, I really am a very spiritual person, and I bring a lot of truth with me. I'm very like neutral. And so when I speak truth to people, they can feel it typically, mm-hmm. you know, 98% of the time. So they were already having epiphanies because the structure of the company was wrong. And they knew it was wrong when I said
it. So, however, it was off, for sure.
Yeah, but they needed to see why that was. And they needed to see why I felt that way about Julie, because she was being so quiet and nobody saw that power in her. Mm-hmm, but once I said, look, I will work on her one-on-one and she will stand into her power. She will raise to her potential. And she will be the one that's feeding into this company. And the more that we discussed it, the more everybody came forward and said, honestly, I don't even really want to do this. I don't even want to be in this position. And then the other people came forward and said, honestly, I didn't want this man to be the CEO of the company. That was my biggest problem.
Wow.
And so it was, you know, you have your first, your second witness, your third witness over and over again that what I was saying was true. And then I don't even know anything about this company. I don't even know the situation. So
fabulous.
So that's just one thing. And then, you know, we found other things. But it's amazing what you can find. You know, I was having a conversation with Bruce about this, that, for instance, if somebody has this amazing non-GMO, organic, you know, full wheatgrass product, you know, that it's a supplement that you take. And it's amazing. It has all the amazing ingredients. It should be phenomenal. But the place that they selected to manufacture that, let's just say that the guy, the owner of that manufacturing place, is having an affair and is doing some things that are morally unright. And it's feeding into the company, and it's actually feeding into his employees. And quite frankly, when you're in that kind of mindset, we all know that you attract like attracts like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
the so energy shifts. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And he'll hire people kind of similar to himself, which then, again, feeds into the company and feeds into the energy of the building. And if this amazing product is being created in this environment, it's going to have a very low vibration, a low frequency, and people will feel it when they walk by it in the store and they won't want to purchase it.
Yeah, yeah. I've experienced some similar dynamic in the corporate world. Yeah, it's amazing how the energy just ripples. You know, it feeds on itself, right?
Right.
Other people.
So companies hire me to come in and figure out that, because most people would never think to even look at something like that. And I can find that. If somebody at a manufacturing plant is having an affair, or if there's something wrong there, or if there's an energy, or he could have just lost a child. And that devastation is feeding into a very sad depression into the product, and we don't even know it. So all of it's connected, and that's why it's amazing to help that many people all at once.
Yeah, that's nice.
That is nice. Now, are a lot of companies taken aback? You know, do they know that your methods are a little bit different from the typical coaching methods, or they know that going in to the engagement?
Everybody's a little bit different. Usually it'll come from a referral, and some people try to explain it, some people just say, you know what, I don't know what the heck she does, but she does something, and it works. and either way is okay. I mean, sometimes they want to know, and sometimes they don't. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in it. It doesn't matter if you understand it. Because at the end of the day, my objective is to help a whole lot of people have healing, shift this company's energy, and then increase their bottom line. So I've even done things where I said, look, let me just prove it to you. Don't pay me a dollar. I'll come in and shift your company. And if your bottom line changes in, you know, 60 days, pretty substantially, then you know what I did was right. And that works. I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
Right, right. So they don't really describe it, well, you know, whether it's progressive or unconventional. It's sort of like you just have to experience her.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And you, I would say, actually, I think I've had maybe one client that maybe hasn't had a huge epiphany with me, but the rest have all had huge shifts. I mean, so the word of mouth is kind of spreads from that. And it's not just me. I mean, I'm using quantum physics and mathematical codes, a lot of science. So it's not like I'm just, you know, super amazing and, you know, I'm like some psychic person. No, that's not it. It's a collaboration of things, and every client is different. I don't use the same thing for this person that I use for this person.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're using your intuition to assess the situation and come up with what'll work there.
Right, right. And with that also is, and something I didn't talk about, is with quantum physics, I have over 5,000 remedies. So I have the frequency mathematical codes for every type of herb, every type of vaccine, every mineral salt, anything. So just like a chemist would take, you know, if somebody went to a chemist and said, you know, I want to figure out what's causing this cancer, a chemist could take the periodic table and find something to balance it out. Well, I do the same thing, but I have over 5,000 remedies that I can intuitively select to see what would balance out the situation. What would correct that low vibration? What would correct that cancer? What would correct all of us? Sometimes I can't. Sometimes it just needs to be completely removed. And I would say that. But if I can treat it and balance it out and load it up with a frequency that would increase the greater potential, the greatest life energy in the product, the company, or the person, then I will do that. And that's why the people are having so many shifts. I'm not just mm-hmm. taking a look, giving a recommendation. I'm actually changing it and shifting it energetically first.
Okay.
And so some of this work you can do on site, but some of this work you can do from afar, right? Through.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of my clients, I can do it from here, from my home, from my office, and they could be in Germany. It doesn't matter. When people really understand quantum physics and realize that it's all connected, we're all connected. I mean, there's so much science that's coming out of that. It's just unreal. And I'm grateful that it's finally coming into people's forefront. But it doesn't matter. If they just send me a stick figure image of the company, I could figure it out and I can scan through.
It sounds so simple, right, Bruce and Robin?
Really?
Underneath it is, like you're saying, it's way, way, way more than just the stick figure in terms of what you're doing, you know, where you're combining the energetic physics and the quantum physics and your intuitive sense and your knowledge, experience, education. I mean, it's not just as simple as an image, right? But it is, but it isn't. There's a lot more underneath it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I can read a lot more from an image than the average Joe, let's just say that. So from that image, it gives me somewhere to start, and I can feel if something's wrong with this little red box over here that they labeled Dan, you know, Dan over there in engineering.
Right.
Know? And I'm like, there's stuff. And I actually have that. Somebody sent me an image of an app company, and I'm going through, and I ask, what's first? What's the first problem? And I got one of my things came up with that there was a spiritual trauma. And then I said, who's having a spiritual trauma? And it was this guy named Dan in the engineering team. And I didn't know that at first. And so I find that Dan had this spiritual trauma a couple years ago. So I call the owner and I said, hey, what's going on with Dan over here in this red box that you wrote? He wrote me this kid figure abstract, you know, image. And he said, oh, that is so strange that you're saying that. He is our very first engineer on our app. and he was having some medical problems, so he went to see a shaman. And I guess when he went to see the shaman, like something happened, like something really negative and dark. And he said he experienced something really evil, and it freaked him out so bad that he like shut up and packed up his stuff and left, and we never heard from him again.
Wow.
Well, that energy of that spiritual trauma that he had was actually feeding into all the other engineers. And they went through 7 to 8 engineers, and they were having constant problems with them, and they didn't know why. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting. So he kind of left the energetic charge there.
Right, absolutely, that trauma. And so I had to select remedies and clear that out and help him. And so, and then I was able to move on to the rest of the problems. But that was the very first foundational problem of that whole entire company.
Wow. Now, I know a lot of Robin, you and I talked about working with individuals and doing things. And one of the things I thought that was really amazing is that I know for myself as a coach and probably Cindy, we have to see our clients, you know, we got to touch base with our clients weekly and or see them multiple times throughout several months of the coaching engagement. But it sounds like a lot of your work, you're able to accomplish the work, as it were, within maybe one session. Kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, with InnerWise and the system I call this InnerWise, and with my gifts and with all the experience, I find that typically when someone comes to see me one-on-one for coaching, or they want to shift something in their life, I've only had to see them one time. I don't, very rarely if I had to see a client twice, unless something happens, like they get in a huge, trial, or, something happens where it shifts them and pulls them out of that energy again. But one of the unique things that I do is all of the remedies that were selected for that individual or for that company, I can load it up onto a hologram, just like a credit card strip. A credit card strip on the back is actually a type of hologram, and it holds a lot of information. It's not the credit card itself that holds, it's the magnetic strip on the back. And so holograms and magnetic strips like that can hold information. So I load up all of those frequencies onto that, and I give it to the client so they have those remedies with them at all times. So it's not just, they come and see me, they're feeling amazing, they have this huge shift, but then a week from now they start to regress the other way. Because they have the remedies with them and they wear it and they have it on their physical body. So they fully integrate, over the next 2-3 months, and they just get better and better every day. But yes, people shift pretty quickly in just one session.
That's awesome. The coach, using intuition, I'm a very intuitive person as well, and I do use that with clients. And typically, like Bruce was saying, it's a weekly session or call. Some people I work with for a longer period of time, then they'll go to every other week. Still really powerful, but I think the ongoing connection works better for me. But there is the relationship that I think that develops. Like what I find from an intuitive sense is that we get so in sync. I always say two heads are better than one, and then it's almost like we become one. It's really interesting because as you get to know a client, the intuition is even more strong between the two of you as you get in sync with their plans to move forward, whatever you're working with them on. It's really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And that means that you're a great coach. If you can connect with them like that and have, with that synergy together, that's amazing. And that really is a spiritual gift that you have. And it's probably why people are really drawn to you. And I can tell you're probably doing some amazing work personally.
Thank you. I love it. And it's just unbelievable because you're coming up with the same thing at the same time. It's just, you just become very, very in sync. And I think it's a very unique relationship. And I don't know if I could accomplish that like you do because of all the techniques and all the gifts you have and the skills set that you're using, that you can bring it all into one session. Mine is sort of like, getting to know somebody over time. But I think intuition, like when I teach coaching, I ask people how many intuitives are in the room. I often ask that question, and some classes it's 3/4 of the class. It is a profession that draws a lot of people that are And some, like, you know, are more trained or developed than others and utilize it more.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that, too, one of the things that I find the most with people, you know, they consciously are trying to find life coaches and they're trying to make all these shifts and these change. And it's hard for people to put the connections together. For instance, like, you could have a client that is coming to you because they want this financial success. And some of the experiences that I have found is that they usually have some kind of block, some kind of programming. Anywhere from the age of conception to the age of 19 is somewhere they program themselves. Like, let me give you an example. Like, somebody saying when they were 7, their family and their parents constantly fighted about money. And so they program themselves to say, oh, I don't want no part of this. Money is bad. It makes people fight. My parents are about to get divorced over this money thing.
Yeah, they just file it and in. So, it just sort of,
Right. And so then it becomes this subconscious programming, and they can't figure out why they can't get money because they never went out, they never went back in time and cleared out that programming. And so that's something, too, that I find a lot on those individual things, which is fun.
Yes, you know, the false beliefs, the way they think, the blocks. Yeah, it comes up all the time in coaching. Bruce, do you find the same thing? I work with, you know, they just have this, they don't see it clearly because of something they've locked in as a thought process or a belief that isn't serving them anymore.
Exactly. I mean, it's locked in, and whatever they're doing is being actually disruptive, you know.
Right.
And it's causing problems for themselves, their own performance ratings, and sometimes that ripple effect. Like Robin is saying, that if this person has this block or issue going on, that the stuff flows downhill, and it affects everybody in their in their wake, type of thing. And so,
right, and they can't seem to move. That's why I always use that image of people having, you know, sort of being in up to their ankles in quicksand. You know, they just can't move from that position.
Right. And so, with the traditional coaching methods, kind of taking data points from different people about this person that's the one that I've been assigned to coach. So a supervisor, you know, coworkers, subordinates, maybe the person's spouse, maybe somebody who's in the company from another office that has direct interaction. With the individual fairly often, and kind of looking at that Johari window. You know what I mean? What you think you know about yourself, but what do others, you know, see you as that you don't know about yourself, right?
Right.
And some of those areas are blind spots and or areas for growth. And so that's kind of culled through kind of two-dimensional, you know, data gathering and interviews and those things. You know, it's not necessarily the spiritual realm by any means, right? But you're just taking data points from other people and then kind of reflecting that back to the person, saying, wow, now here's what other people, kind of a consensus of what other people are feeling about you and seeing about you and perceiving you, you know, and let's take a look at that. And is this something that you want to have? And I don't say, you know, Betty said this and John said that, nothing like that, but I do kind of.
Yeah, I was just wondering that if people would get paranoid, get paranoid about that.
Yeah, they do a little bit. You know, some of these guys do, and they know some of the people I work with are, frankly, in trouble. You know, this is the reason why I'm there is because there's some sort of mistake that's been made, and the higher ups want the situation to get better, so I get kind of called in there, which is an interesting paradigm too, where it's kind of, you know, takes me a while to build, you know, to build that rapport and confidence and trust and those things. So I'm just not like a hired gun sent from central command, you know, to blow and go on this thing. But anyway, there is a block there, and that's why we're there. We're there to free the blocks, to free up energy, to flow in a way that will be productive for not only the company, but for everybody involved.
Robin, do you have companies call you like what Bruce was referring to, where there's a trouble spot or a person that's not performing or I've done something that's disruptive? I mean, to try to solve, or is it the whole company typically?
You know what? Every situation's different. You know, sometimes I'll get a referral from, say, somebody who's like a director in operations, but the CEO is not okay with me coming in.
Yeah, and so, interesting.
And so what will happen is I just work on that division. And if I can increase that division, you know, from the operations side, then, you know, that CEO might say, wow, I don't know what she did, but maybe we should have her come in. And sometimes it's a whole company. Sometimes it's just a sales team. Sometimes they just have a turnover of employees too much. And sometimes it could be the CEO had some serious trauma, you know, a loss of a child or some kind of addiction or something like that, and they're really seeking help. So every situation's a little bit different, and it's always an exchange, too. It's, even though I'm helping them, they're actually helping me to expand, too, my gifts. And every type of experience that I go through, I learn so much and I expand. So it's always an amazing exchange back and forth.
Yeah. Right. It's mutually beneficial. What about the, you know, topic that comes up sometimes about the, you know, the CEO that everybody's afraid of, or the narcissistic sociopathic personality type often rises in leadership roles? Have you had some experience around that?
Yeah, that situation I was actually just talking about, and that was just a few days ago. Where I was taking, let's just say her name's Julie, and I took her and put her back in her in the CEO position. Well, she was never really there, but she should have been. But the man who was in that position had a really large ego, and he really struggled with that scarcity. Like, he needed, everything was his, he's done this, everything was all about him, and it was a huge ego, narcissistic, you know, kind of issue. And then later on, like I said, people came forth and said, yeah, my biggest problem with this company was having him be in this position, made me feel uncomfortable. But so what I had to work on him individually. So what the people who struggle to shift, that's when I say, I need to do a session with you one-on-one. And so we went back in time and figured out that early on in life, he had a really hard upbringing and everything was taken from him. He actually grew up in a kind of a cult fundamentalist religion. Mm. And everything that he tried to do was constantly removed for him. So he owned a company and then he wasn't righteous enough. And so it was removed from him. It was taken. Or, you know, his family, like he always was being corrected and things were being removed from him because he grew up in this very fundamentalist religion. And so because of that mentality, that's why he was having such a hard time letting go. And that's where that big, huge ego came from, of feeling like, you know, he has to do it. He has to take control. He has to force this to happen, or it's not going to happen because everything else was taken away from him. And what I showed him was that actually he was choking the life out of it.
Oh, interesting.
He was choking the life out of the whole entire company because he was so worried that it was going to be taken away from him, like it had in the past.
Did he have a breakthrough?
Oh, he absolutely did. And so what I did is we went back in time and actually uploaded some frequencies and some remedies to those times when things were taken away. And so I treated him and I uploaded him and empowered him to not have that such negative charge anymore in those circumstances. So that helped him to release. And I also said, look, you're already amazing. We all see that. Like, you're a natural born leader. But would it be okay if Julie rise and became her greatest potential? Because this is what this whole company is about her reaching her life purpose and her potential. So is it okay if you let go and allow her to do this now? And so that you can move on to something bigger and better.
Right.
And that was hard. That was hard for him, but he did it. It took him 2 days and he did it. He removed himself and gave her the CEO position. Pretty amazing.
That's amazing. Work. Yeah, that's amazing that they were able to have that kind of insight and then act on it. Well, I know some people that would be highly resistant to letting go of the chair, but sometimes did the board vote on it or something? I mean, is there some sort of collective action there?
At first, everybody was shocked, but they could feel, you know, that there was some truth to what I was saying. Then I showed them some science behind it, and everybody was all for it. that we all met until, you know, late in the evening. And I said, look, here's the deal. Even though everybody's having peace about all this and they're feeling really good, everybody's going to go home and their egos are going to have a conversation with them. And they're going to struggle. For the next 2 days, it's going to be very awkward. There's going to be contention in this company. But it's okay. It's only going to be 2 days, and then it'll shift. Because I always test. I always test and see, is this going to be more than 2 days? Is it going to be 3 days? However long. And then I knew it was going to take them 2 days to do this. So,
well, that's pretty
enough,
fast.
Yeah, and it depends on the company and the people. But sure enough, they all go home, and they're angry because, you know, some of those people, I took them out of the position. Some of them were equal partners and never even performed. They shouldn't have been in that position. And so that was another thing I had to remove. And so when they went home, it kind of set in that they were this close to getting something that they didn't deserve. And that entitlement and that ego popped up, and it caused some contention. So mm-hmm. for 2 days, they kind of argued and all of that. But once I was able to work on everybody, they all shifted. And so everybody's doing really well now.
That's good to hear.
Just got some good testimonial. So I was a little worried at first, but it's
it all worked out, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because typically in the corporate world, it's like you get that type of personality type at the top, and it, you know, it creates a lot of distress and fallout, and it takes a couple years for them to cycle in and out to bring peace back, which is, you know, unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. And also what's unfortunate is that people have been programmed to look at things in the physical realm only. So they interview people only off of what they look like on paper. You know, they hire a CEO, they hire all these things. And you've seen it with the Apple company over and over again. You know, when they voted them out and they hired people, you know, who on paper would have done amazing jobs, but they never took into account the physical energy and the spiritual properties that goes into a company and into life purpose and into people's greatest potential. And if that person's energy cannot uplift that company, it will fail. It'll start to die, just like it's starting to die now in Apple, or it's been dying, I should say.
Hmm. Interesting.
Let's talk about that as much as you can, Robin. I know we had a great discussion about that. Very, very powerful. So, for instance, you're in Colorado, and for the most part, we would say Apple is in Cupertino, California. So let's walk through some of this as much as you can. So, and you know, I've talked about this, and I think, you know, she and I had this talk, and Robin had some things to say about what's going on there. And then I added an element today about the last vision that Jobs had, his building has been created now, and it's coming. They're putting in the trees in the middle, and that's that. But nonetheless, so you're in Colorado. That's over there, and you're able to pick up a lot of stuff, right, about what's going on, let's say, in that company, and kind of talk about that, or at least categorically, whatever you're willing to share about that process.
Yeah,
and go ahead.
Sure. So it's kind of funny, you know, when you do this type of work, and sometimes you just naturally can tap into things, you know, the more in tune you become. And so I do this sometimes with companies, with governments, our presidents, all kinds of things to see what's going on behind the scenes. So Dr. Uva and I were kind of discussing this about Apple. And so for the fun of it, we kind of did a diagnosis and figured out that, and it, you can kind of see it through the patterns too, that Steve Jobs, his life purpose and his life potential was Apple. And so his life purpose was feeding into the company itself. So when you create a company, it's its own entity. And even the scriptures testify that, you know, when it talks about God creating the world, he created everything energetically and spiritually first. So if we can go through and we create things, and a company becomes an entity energetically first. Just like
it's kind of like a marriage becomes an entity, right?
Correct. So we need to look at it and correct it spiritually and energetically first, and then the physical parts will follow. So Steve Jobs, his life purpose was Apple. And then when they removed him from the company, I mean, the sales declined rapidly. They're like, what the heck is going on here? We hired one of the best CEOs, the most recommended. We have, you know, enough money to fund anything. Like, what's the problem here? And then when they brought him back, his energy goes back into the company because it's his life purpose. You can't distort that. So now that he has passed on, you know, the same thing is happening, just like when they removed him. Now his life purpose, his life energy is removed from the company, and they have not found somebody that has the same life purpose or the same life energy. And that's what they need to do is test and figure out what would bring in Steve's life energy again. Now, we figured it out, and we know exactly. And I told Bruce privately what they could do and it's such a simple thing. But this one simple thing that they could do would actually jump the life energy and put Steve Jobs' energy back into all the products, and it would save the company. But I don't want to announce that because hopefully somebody out there is listening. Maybe you can give us a connection. I'd really love to go in and do this for Apple. So connect with me or Bruce about that. But that's just a simple thing. And now that his last vision has been done with this new building, it's kind of like that last, you know, stab in there where it's draining the energy, and they need to find a way to feed that back into there quickly.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting because we had the discussion and she said what the intervention would be. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It is like, holy cow, you know, and it really resonated with me. And I thought, yeah, man, that's it. And you know, the truth has a certain ring to it, right? It really does. And when something that really resonates with the other person as a truth, even as a sideline observer, man, look, I am the most, you know, right? Just Southern Baptist knuckle dragon guy in the world, right? I mean, you know, to hear that, and I was just like, ooh, I could actually feel that. You know what I'm saying? Even though she's in Denver, I'm in Texas, and Apple's in California. So it is amazing to think about that and to see how where that energy point would be, and that was that. Hey, speaking of, real quick, I want to talk about, you know, you talk about on your website and things are Christ-centered, and I know that some of our listeners right now are probably thinking that, you know, I have some sort of a spiritual mystic and evil witch on the show. You're not a witch, so let... an evil witch, but anyway, but seriously.
So let's, you have such a way of words, right?
I know, man. It's the bad co-host calling his guests witches. Anyway, but seriously, how do you work that into the work and kind of explain the faith piece and how that is such a core component in place of a source of where your work comes from?
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that you asked that question. Actually, one of the things that I tell my clients right off the bat is that, first of all, I always start and end with a prayer, always. You know, people can say, you know, the universe, I put it out to the universe or whatever, and that's totally fine. But there are a lot of things in the universe, and there are a lot of things listening, and there are a lot of things that are willing to teach you something. And, you know, even a dark spirit can teach you 10 amazing, powerful truths, but they'll tell you one lie, and that one lie will twist you up. So I'm very specific. Every single session, every phone call, everything, I always, always start and ask clear direction from God, from my Creator. I always ask for the Holy Ghost to testify of what is truth, not just to me, but everybody involved, so that they can feel it and it can burn in their soul. And so that's a whole other element to me because, you know, I ask God how to show me how to use my gifts, you know. How to, you know, if I go to a training or something like that with quantum physics or with natural medicine or whatever, yes, I gather that information and then I ask him to show me how he would have me use it. Because he sees things in so many different dimensions and I want to see that too. And so I ask for my gift to be amplified on high. And so when I tell people, hey, look, I'm going to start and end with a prayer and you're going to be involved in that, if that makes you uncomfortable, I might not be a good fit for you. Because we need that assistance. We really do. And you know, people, there's tons of people have spiritual gifts. Even tarot cards could be a spiritual gift, or palm reading could be a spiritual gift. But if they're not constantly asking, and for every individual, every session, to be guided and directed by God individually, there could be some error once in a while. And that error could really twist somebody up. So I'm very careful about that.
Man, you know, and boy, this is, and we only have like 4.5 more minutes, but, you know, this is such an interesting area right there, that spiritual realm, using the spiritual realm as part of the work. Hey, we use the spiritual realm. I use the spiritual realm as part of my therapy sessions, part of my coaching sessions. I'll go into some sort of, did I just say that? What did I just say? You know what I mean? And yes. And that'll be the spirit kind of, you know, talking through me, you know, in the session or whatever. And I don't even know what I did, you know, and again, the good on that, by the way. So, you know, because a lot of people think, oh my gosh, he's going to do this spiritual stuff, and they really default to I don't want to say a demonic side or whatever, but they think, oh
yeah,
my gosh,
non-godly,
right. No. Boy, or that it's just woo woo, or it's just woo woo. You know what
woo-woo.
I mean?
Yeah, I heard woo woo. Is woo woo like code for something? Robin said woo woo. Or anyway,
well, a lot of people, it is. It's becoming a code word for the whole spiritual energetic. A lot of people are like, oh, she's a woo woo. Yeah, no. Yeah,
okay, see, I learned something new today about woo woo. Okay. But anyway, I think, you know, I think that's really great, and I think that's really important, and I think it differentiates, right? Because there's a lot of spiritual people and spirit healers and whatnot, and it's not coming from that place. You know what I mean? Or it might be coming from a natural place or a Wiccan place or whatever place. It's not coming from a Christ-centered place. So that is, man, you know, that is really really interesting, because at the end of the day, you know, we are spiritual beings, you know what I mean? And that's that. And so, again, I just find that is extremely important and fascinating about what you do.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I always ask for God to be, you know, to use me as an instrument, you know, to be, that I can be a conduit for those promptings. And if there's something that I feel prompted to say, and I feel, and I've had that happen several times where God has told me, tell them this specifically, and I didn't have the courage to say it, and it came back 7 times, like over and over again, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to say this, and I did, and it was already too late. But the you know, 4 days had went by, and the guy had done something already. And so, you know, I've learned through experience to be obedient. And when God gives you gifts, spiritual gifts, and you do not use them, and you're fearful of what man will think of you, then those gifts will be removed. And I'm at a place in my life where I need to be obedient, because I want to reach my greatest potential. And I do not fear no longer what people will say about me, because they have a spiritual experience, and the spirit testifies of the things that I'm doing, because they are truth.
There you go. All right. So that's it. We got to wrap it up. So Robin, if you would share with us your website or contact information that our listeners can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So my website is amazingrobin.com, and that's Robin with a Y. So amazingrobin, R-O-B-Y-N.com. And I also have a Facebook page, and my email is amazingrobin11@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Robin. You've been a fabulous guest. It's really been a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, and we might have you on again sometime. We can pick an issue, or perhaps if we tag team on something, we'll be able to bring that
That'd
back into
fun.
The show. That'd be fun, man. Awesome stuff.
That would be fun. Maybe we could do a company live on the air and show some of the process and find some
that would
interesting
be,
things about.
Hey, we just might be able to do that here on LA Talk Radio. We can do what we want.
We could trip. On LA we could Talk trip. Radio, we could baby. Triple team it. Triple team
we,
it, man. They won't know what hit
show.
them.
We own this show. All right, folks, I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Cindy, what's your contact?
WisdomFoods@AOL.com and 714-943-6206 to speak with me directly.
All righty then. And so that said, again, thanks for listening to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Be with us next week, because you never know what kind of great material we're going to have for you. And check us out on iTunes and our social media page on Facebook. And yeah, you can just Google us and we will pop up. Take care. We'll see y'all next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.